The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, everyone can hear me? Great, welcome. Tonight is the last week of the four-week beginner's practice group series, and tonight we're going to do a little bit review of mindfulness of thinking, right? Mindfulness of thinking. So we'll have a 20-minute guided meditation to review some of those practices. And then we're going to introduce a new topic tonight, and that's the topic of metta, what we call metta, or loving kindness or friendliness. So we'll give a brief introduction to that, and then we'll do some discussion in small groups, and we'll have plenty of time for questions. And then at the end, we'll do a little bit guided metta practice to see, just to offer it to you and see if it works for you. So Diana's going to do the review of mindfulness of thinking.
Thank you, Xinguang. Can you hear me okay? So for those of you, if it's your first night, I don't know if that's true for any of you. I recognize just about everybody. I think maybe you guys are new. I'm Diana Clark. This is Xinguang Park, and this is Jim Podolsky. And we've been teaching together this, and we teach some other things together, too. And it's a lot of fun to be teaching together. So as Xinguang said, tonight we're going to, for the mindfulness part, we're going to look at mindfulness of thinking. And mindfulness of thinking brings our attention to the idea that thinking has two aspects. It has the actual content of our thoughts and the actual process of thinking. Most of us have our familiar favorite ways of process of thinking, so that doesn't change as much. But the content, of course, really does change a lot. And when we do mindfulness of thinking, we're looking more at the process, not at the content. So to kind of speak a little bit, what is process versus content, I thought, well, we can imagine this maybe in the way that we do email, right? If you want to send an email, you have your favorite email program. Maybe you have Outlook on your computer or Gmail or something. So you choose your program. You open it up. You click on compose or write or something and choose the address, subject line, write your email that has content in it, sign it, and push send and off. So the process is choosing your software, typing, sending. And then, of course, the content could be whatever it is, right? We probably, all of us, get many emails, or maybe not so many emails. But so as I said, mindfulness of thinking is more about the process. So some of us, our thinking is, we think more in words, and some of us think more in images. And this is something I'm going to, in the guided meditation, encourage you to explore a little bit. And if there are words, the way that you think, there's some that hear the words. They have a particular sound, maybe a particular voice or a particular tone associated with them. And if it's if you think in words, you can also maybe see the words. I'm one of these people, and I sometimes are paying attention to, like, what kind of font are these words in? Are they in all capital letters? Are they nice script? Are they in kind of childlike letters? Are they sans serif or serif, you know, those kinds of things. Like, there's a quality to them. But if you're one of those people with the words that are things that you hear, then you can ask yourself, where is the loudspeaker? Like, this is, I know it sounds kind of an interesting thing, but it's something you can explore during meditation. It sounds like, what are you talking about? There's not a loudspeaker. But if I were to ask you, if indeed you do hear words as part of your thinking, are the words in your toes? You may say, no, they're probably not in my toes. Are they in your elbows? No, they're not in the elbows. So very often, they're like in our head or chest or gut or shoulders or something. So that's one way to think about the process of thinking, is if there are words that you hear, what's the location of them? And if you don't know the location, that's okay too. Sometimes it's not so clear or obvious, but it's something to explore. And that can also help you clarify the difference between process and content, because often we get lost in the content of our thoughts. And the same thing can be said if our thinking, our thoughts are images, more pictures, more like a movie that we're watching rather than something we're reading or something that we're hearing. And if that's the case, you can explore, where is the location of the screen that you're watching or the projector? And again, you may think, well, there isn't a location, but maybe you could narrow it down. Or maybe there's a sensation associated with it. Maybe there's a pressure or a tension, or maybe like when you use a muscle, there's a certain feeling in using a muscle. Maybe there's a sensation as if there were a thinking muscle. So I don't want to make things too abstract, but it's a kind of a way for us to have a relationship with our thinking where we don't get lost with the content. Instead, we're looking at the process and the experience and the sensations associated with thinking. And then when we're in touch with the sensations and the experience of thinking, then we can often switch to mindfulness of the body. That's often a little bit more tangible and a little bit more grounded and a little bit easier. So it's a way to kind of link thinking to our bodies. And then one last thing I'll say this before we get started on the guided meditation is that all of us think all the time, right? And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing, right? It's a kind of an amazing feat of nature that we have these thoughts and that we're able to solve problems and to consider things, reflect on things. So it's a beautiful thing, and we should really honor and respect it. But it's also okay to relax our thinking sometimes while we're meditating. So our object here is not that we have to push them away, that they are the enemies and we have to get rid of them. We can just soften them, allow them to relax, and to pay attention to the process of thinking rather than the content. It's very easy to get lost in the content. Very often we are identified with the content and we very, very strongly believe everything we read, right, or think. We believe them to be very authoritative, that it's, I have this thought, therefore it is true. But our thoughts change, right? And sometimes what we thought was true on one day perhaps isn't true the next day, or true one moment isn't true the next moment. So maybe we don't have to hold on to our content quite as tightly and don't have to be as identified with it. We could say, oh, look, I'm thinking about this. And just have it be that simple in terms of the content. But there's a certain for me, sometimes it feels like a little bit of compulsion for thinking, to have thoughts and to be thinking, because I am identified right often with my thinking. And if you discover that that's the way that you experience your thinking, is, you know, one thought after the other without space in between, and they're all like there's a pressure to get them out, you may want to explore if there's an emotion that's underneath the thinking, that the thinking is a reaction to or a consequence of. Is there an emotion that's fueling the thoughts? Maybe there could be fear, for example. And so you're planning to make sure that nothing untoward happens, right, to help keep you safe. Or maybe there's some sadness, and so you're thinking about lots of things so that you're not in touch with grief or something. So if there's a certain pressure or you feel the tension to think, you can inquire if there's an emotion. And if so, then you can do mindfulness of emotions, which we learned last week. That's also a little, some can be tangible. And emotions are also often felt in our bodies, which is often a little bit easier to be mindful of than the process of thinking. So with that, it's kind of a long introduction. I just wanted to introduce it because for me, my own experience, when I first started doing mindfulness of thinking, I got a little bit confused because I would pay attention to my thoughts and then off I am into my thoughts and thinking and story, and I had a difficult time being mindful of them. So it is tricky. So we're going to emphasize looking at the process of thinking. How do you experience thinking rather than the content? Okay, so if you can take an upright posture, relaxed. We'll begin by taking some long, slow, deep breaths. See if you can relax a little bit with the exhale. And as if the thinking mind were a muscle, there's a way that with the exhale you can just gently relax, soften. And if you can't, that's okay. Just soften around that you can't, you're not sure what this means to soften the soften the thinking mind. You can bring your breath back to normal. And we'll bring our attention to the breath for a little bit here to get settled. So how does your body experience breathing? Bring your attention to your breath. Here in the beginning, you can let the thinking mind recede in the background and the breath be in the foreground. If you find that your thinking has moved to the foreground, that's okay. There's no need. We don't have to push away our thoughts. But you can turn towards them. See the process of thinking clearly. Are they words? Or are they images? And when you're looking at thoughts, if they are words, what do they sound like? What do they look like? If this comes naturally to you, this may not. Maybe your thoughts are in images. If so, where is the screen? Where do you see them? Maybe in front of you, maybe in the middle of your head. Everybody has their own way. If you're not sure what you're thinking, the process of thinking, there's no need to strain. You can just simply come back to the breath. You don't have to figure it out if it's not clear. If thinking is prominent, see, explore, is there a part of your body that is activated with thinking? Do you feel pressure or tension anywhere associated with thinking? If so, you can do mindfulness of the body, of that location. And if the thinking fades, you can just bring your attention back to the breath. During meditation, we don't need to be involved with the content of our thoughts. You can explore the process of thinking. Or you can just relax the thinking and bring your attention to the breath. If your thinking feels very persistent, you can gently explore if there's an emotion underlying the thinking, fueling the thinking. the purpose of meditation, we can allow our thinking to soften, maybe recede. But if it's compelling, then we can turn towards the process of thinking and use that as the object of meditation. Can you feel or sense the process of thinking? And if that feels too abstract or you're unsure, just gently bring your attention back to the breath. And so to end this meditation, bring your attention to the cushion or the chair in your body and your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So thinking and thoughts, they don't have to be something that we have to get rid of and push aside and wish that they weren't there. We can simply turn them into the object of meditation. We can turn towards them, but not the content so much as the process of thinking, what it feels like to think, the sensations of thinking. So are there any questions?
So one thing I found was that the thoughts were just random, you know, they just walk in without announcing, just, you know. So and then I found that one way to control them is to have a second thought that kind of walks my mind through, saying, okay, I mean, And now you're going to have like a blank mind, and now you're going to lose your thoughts, and you're going to relax. So it's like, well, I need a thought, you know, sort of like the master thought, to get rid of all the other thoughts. So is that okay, or that's a sign of like a beginner?
Do you want to answer this, Shinkwan?
I can speak to part of that. Sometimes what we're doing when we look at any experience is we're letting it go. And so that second voice you're saying is a part of your process of letting go of thinking, to return back to the breath or the body. Sometimes we're choosing to do that. That's a different process. What Diana was kind of guiding us through is a way to be mindful of thinking as it's happening. It's another way of working with mindfulness. So sometimes we choose the object that we're being mindful of, like it can be the breath or the body, something simple, because it's very difficult to work with thinking. Gradually, when we have a steadiness of mind, we can actually open it up to include thinking. So we don't have to let it go, but we also are not choosing to get lost in the story of what we're thinking of, but be very present for the process of thinking. So what you're describing sounds like you're doing letting go. It's just another way of working with it. Sometimes it's more skillful for having a monkey mind. But it's also nice to be able to practice mindfulness of thinking when we feel we can try it out from time to time. Does that make sense?
That was great. Thank you, Shinkwan.
I found during this meditation that the thought was accompanied by an associative visual or image. But I couldn't tell which came first, the thought or the image. Is that significant or does it matter?
I think it's fabulous that you noticed this. This is part of the process, is to look at how does thinking occur. I don't know if it's important which comes first, the thought or the image, but it's interesting that you noticed and that you're mindful and that you are aware. So I think it's great.
I had a thought about, my day at work and a word, and it was frustration, and it was the font was like really jaggedy, and so I noticed that was cool that you mentioned, font, because it allowed me to kind of like observe it, like look at it and not be in it. And then I noticed my body reaction to the thought was like my head was getting really warm and my face was starting to get itchy. But I didn't itch my face. I just kind of like got, I was like, okay, my head's really warm and my face is itchy. and then I think I stepped back and I imagined an image of like a flower, and I tried to just cool all that off and then went back to my breath to kind of like just, cycle the heat off my face. But I thought that, what you were saying about a word, looking at it like a visual, helped me, like not be in it, but to like get back from it enough so I could feel my body reaction to the thought and then pay attention to that and, just keep going back to the breath to get kind of like anchored. So that's what I experienced.
Thank you for sharing. I think that's really great to see the connection, what happens in your body often with a certain type of thought. And it's also great to be able to recognize, like, the quality of the thought.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's one over here. Or I don't know how to do the microphones.
So I found that, like, it was hard, or I was getting really caught up in like watching the process because it was so fascinating because I've never really done that before. So I guess is that just kind of a matter of practice? I guess it's kind of just the meditation practice in general, but to not get caught up in that. I mean, I guess I'm not sure exactly what I want to ask, but it's just, I felt like that was not less challenging for me than like looking at the content. So.
Do you have something you want to say?
So it's really good to notice because we can have commentary or opinions or something to say about anything we're looking at, right? So that's what you were noticing, it sounds like. So even as you're noticing the process, there was some level of commentary about the process. So when you notice that, the tools of that Diana was giving was to just keep coming back to some kind of physical experience about the process. So it happens over and over and over again. That's the practice. Anytime you notice you've kind of gone off into commentary, analysis, opinion or whatever, then the process is to come and bring yourself back. It's a little bit easier for some people to be working with the process or the physical experience of what's going on because stories tend to take us out. But we also can notice we can make a story about anything. So that's probably what you're noticing. So that's great.
It's on now.
Oh, well, push the button. It's yellow.
It's green.
It's on, yeah. Okay. So is one of the goals to have thoughts without feelings associated with them? Or am I getting it wrong?
Our goal here for mindfulness is to be in the present moment. Train our minds to come back to the present moment. And the process, the experience, then sensations of thinking is here in the present moment. Our content of our thoughts, our stories or fantasies may be about the past, may be about the future. They may also be about the present, but they're just as often not about the present. So our intention here is to be aware of what's happening now.
Okay. So I was thinking like you said, when you have thoughts, you know, so don't try to judge them and just watch them and just soften them. So thoughts always have feelings associated with them, right? So how do you handle the feelings, or do you just go along with the feelings, or is the eventual, sort of the goal is to be sort of like the neutral observer where your thoughts don't have any feelings?
So I'm not sure all thoughts have feelings. Sometimes the feelings are very compelling with certain types of thinking. And we are giving some kind of instruction or suggestion. If it's more compelling than the thinking, then turn towards the emotion or feeling, is the word you're using. But not in the story of the feeling or emotion, the physical sensation of that, because that's happening in the present moment as well. If it's very strong, certain feelings of rage, sorrow, grief, anxiety can be really very palpable. So we're not trying to get rid of anything, actually. We're just trying to bring some presence of mind, stability of mind, to meet that experience without getting lost in the story, concept, judgment, criticism of whatever's happening. In that way, feelings have a lifespan, just like thoughts have a beginning and end. Feelings have a beginning and end, or emotions, and most of them don't last longer than a minute if we don't feed them. So basically, it's one thing happening after another, and we're trying to train our mind to be present for all of our experience without getting lost in, sucked in, drowning in, feeding. And that way, we can actually see what's happening more clearly Does that make sense?
Okay. As one last follow-up. But sometimes I find that so if there is like an issue and my mind keeps thinking about it for a few hours, for a few days, a few weeks, and then boom, I find like the solution to that, you know? So it seems to go against like the spiritual aspect, but like a lot of the problems I'm able to solve is because it's in the background all the time, and like each time the thought comes, my mind tries a new solution. It goes, well, what if? And so that doesn't work. And then at the same thought, it comes back after like an hour, and then my mind goes, what if?
So that's fine. Like Diana was saying, it's pretty amazing. We have mental capacities that can be quite astounding sometimes, you know, all the technology. We're not saying we're going to shut off all our capacities or mental capacities. They're going to do what they're going to do. But sometimes it's not useful to always be caught in or stuck in or fueled by repetitive thinking, harmful thinking, harsh speech, critical, you know. So we're picking and choosing the stuff that's really not useful for us, and learning how to be with all these things that are going on in our minds and bodies in a skillful way. I hope that's helpful. We're not saying all thoughts are going to go and we'll just be robots and spiritual blobs, right? But we're practicing for like this hour and a half or your 20 minutes a day, a different function of our capacity of the mind and heart. Does that make sense? Okay, great.